Enemy presses and hard you not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, let's turn together to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. I want to welcome everybody at our gathering services and everybody at our East York campus, and those of you who are even watching online, good to have you with us today as we continue to make our way through the book of Daniel. We are here today in Daniel, chapter 10. It is, as all of the other chapters have been, I think, a very fascinating passage of Scripture, one that helps us understand that the real battles that we face are not always in the physical realm, but in fact, there is an unseen spiritual realm where there are battles going on for our hearts and our minds, for the hearts and the minds of those that we love. And this is a passage, I think, that really, really brings that out. And so I trust that this will be a day when we'll really hear and sense the Lord's presence and His grace today. Let's bow together in prayer and ask for Him to do just that. Father, I thank You for what happened to Daniel so many years ago. Wow, almost 2,600 years ago. And for the those who have written this down and those who have made sure that it's remained accurate down through the years so that we can learn from this. Thank You, Lord, for this vision, this revelation that Daniel was given here in Daniel chapter 10. And I pray that we'll not only see what You were trying to say to Daniel, but that we'll also hear what You want to say to each of us here as well this morning. And so encourage our hearts, I pray, and strengthen us, and get us ready, Lord, to serve You in this world. And we pray this in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. Well, this coming June, we will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Allied troops storming the beaches of Normandy. We call this group of people the greatest generation. They helped liberate our world from the likes of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi machine. They mobilized a force that would push back the adversary that was trying to take over the world in that particular time. And yet, we also know as well, 75 years later, that while the Battle of D-Day was won, there were still battles to be fought, even as there are battles to be fought today. And I think as followers of Jesus Christ, the same is true for us. We understand that through Christ and all that Christ has done for us on the cross, that the victory has been won, that in many respects, the war is over. And yet, those of us who seek to live for Him and honor Him, we understand that the fight is still real. How about it, church? There are battles that we still must engage in as we live our lives for Him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12, I think Paul talks about that when he says this. He said that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know, some of us here today think that our real problem is with our husband or our wife or maybe our boss or some employee that we have that's driving us crazy. No, it's not. Look at what it says there. Our real struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against, quote, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Those are where you and I fight, I think, our real battles. It's one of the reasons why Paul will go on there in the 14th verse. We're going to look at this later on. He'll say, you know, and so therefore we have to put on, as followers of Christ, the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground. Now, I can remember when our family graduated from a TV where you had to get up, walk over to it, and turn the channel by hand. Those were the days when you could actually burn calories when you were watching TV. So I remember when you had to do that, and then I remember the dawn of cable TV. How many of you remember all of this stuff? You are old. We got a whole bunch of old people here in the 8 o'clock service. Some of you kept your hands down purposefully, but you remember this. I know that. But anyway, you know, all of a sudden you had that remote, and you had hundreds of channels at your disposal, right? And then, of course, the dawn of split-screen TV. Remember that? Where you could watch both the Patriots and the Red Sox at the same time. Or the Phillies and the Eagles. Or the Ravens or the, what's that team down there that plays baseball in Baltimore? The Orioles, yes. You could do that all at the same time. And you know, today, church, I think we're going to learn that as Christ followers, we need to see our lives through two screens. I want you to think about that. On the one hand, of course, we live in the physical and the natural realm of this life. We eat, we drink, we go to work, we enjoy all the wonderful things, we play golf and all that stuff in the physical realm. And yet at the same time, there is an unseen spiritual realm as well, church. That split screen. And you need to get this down today. I want you to think about this idea here, that there are times, that is, what is going on in the unseen spiritual realm of our lives is affecting our visible and physical realm and lives. It's a huge line and a huge thought. And here we are today in Daniel chapter 10, and I think we're going to learn that. Daniel gets a visit from a very powerful angel. It might even be Jesus himself. He gets this visit in response to praying for God's help. And in the process of this, this angel informs Daniel about what's called, quote, a great war that is raging in the spiritual realm that eventually will play out in the physical realm. And what he says to Daniel, I think, speaks to us about the battles that we face as well. And so let's do a dive into this here this morning and think about this. I've got three main ideas, three main points I want to share with you today. The first one is this, that life is full of unseen spiritual battles. Life is full of unseen spiritual battles. Let's listen to how Daniel expresses this in Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned, you ought to underline this in the text, a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face was lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. Wow. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, don't be afraid, Daniel should have been a screenwriter for Hollywood. How about a church? Don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. This is a huge line. You ought to underline it. But the prince of Persia resisted me 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. So this is something I think going on in the unseen spiritual world. Because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. Number one, life is full of unseen spiritual battles. Now, I think it's important for us to note that this was the year 536. They've been through a slew of kings already, right? We saw King Belshazzar, we saw King Darius, we saw King Nebuchadnezzar. Now we've got King Cyrus is now the king. King Cyrus was actually a Persian king. And if you remember, Daniel predicted that eventually the Medes and the Persians would come and take over the Babylonian kingdom. That's already happened when Daniel receives this vision. If you read about King Cyrus and these days in other parts of the Bible, you know that he was actually a kind king to the Jews. And one of the things he did when he captured Babylon is he released the Jews and he sent them back to Jerusalem to rebuild their city. All of that happened under King Cyrus. And so there was this new era of peace, if you will, that was spreading through the land. And yet now here in these verses, Daniel gets this visit from an angel who warns of a, quote, great war that is beginning to brew. We're going to learn about this war, by the way, next week in Daniel chapter 11. There's so many things to think through. You need to read that ahead of time because it's an amazing thing as God details that war, which I think will extend to the end of the world. What's important, I think, to see up here is that when Daniel saw and got this vision, it totally blew him away and those who were with him. But to me, what is so compelling is what the angel begins to say to him. The angel says, I've come to you, Daniel, in response to your prayers. Daniel, I've been delayed by the prince of Persia. Now, who was this person? I believe that he's an unseen, powerful, ungodly being who had some power over that area of the world at that time. Because he's fighting there. Did you notice in the text there, this prince of Persia? He tries to stop the answer to Daniel's prayer. So Daniel is praying. This unseen force is trying to stop Daniel getting his prayers answered. Who shows up in the text? But Michael. And Michael is there called a chief priest, prince. We know that Michael is an angel, so he's an unseen, powerful, godly being. And the reason why this other angel gets to Daniel with an answer to him is because Michael did some battle behind the scenes in the spirit world with this prince of Persia and made it happen. I think this is really the picture, church, of this split screen that I was talking about earlier. So I have it in your notes today. I want you to get this down. Behind many of the battles we face in the physical realm, there's a far greater battle being fought in the spiritual realm. Are you with me on this, church? That's what he's talking about when he talks about this great war. I think it's a battle for our hearts and our minds. It's a battle for our marriages. It's a battle for our families. It's a battle for our children. It's a battle for our church. It's a battle for our nation. It's a battle for this world. It's why Paul said earlier there in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil whose strength we should never underestimate. Church, I think we see this battle in so many places in our world today. I want you to think about this with me. I think we see it in our country. Have you noticed the growing divide in our country between political parties? There used to be a time when Democrats and Republicans would sit together in Washington and work things out. What in the world is going on down there right now, except some unseen battle? We see it, I think, in the battle between races in this day and age, in the battle between sexes. We are so broken, church, in this day and age, and it's an unseen spiritual brokenness. I think we see this battle in the medical industry, where on the one hand, when we need healing, we go there, and yet that same medical industry allows abortion to happen on demand. What's going on there?
I think we see it in the sports world with bad calls that allow teams like the Patriots to advance. You are awake this morning. Ah, it's good to hear that. Good to see that. But really think about this in the sports world, this place that there are so many people there in that world that we hold up as almost idols, and yet that same sports world promotes muscle-enhancing drugs that ultimately can threaten a person's life. We see it in the church, a place that's supposed to be a place of healing and help, and sometimes it's not. But I think perhaps, church, the place that we see this battle the most is in our own hearts and lives. Some of you remember when God was in the process of drawing you to himself. Do you remember that battle royale that went on in your heart? The doubts, the fears, the despairs. What if I make this kind of decision? What's it really going to mean for me as a person? How about the battle we face for temptation? To lie, to lust, to drink too much, to run to drugs. We see it in the conflicts that we have, in our marriages, in our relationships. We see it with the things that we fear, the things that we worry about. We see it in how we treat people. I mean, listen, those are they not, church? Unseen spiritual battles going on deep, deep in our hearts. Let me ask you today, what kind of a battle are you facing? What's going on in your heart and mind right now that maybe nobody else knows about? A battle royale for your soul, for where you are with God. Daniel's talking about that. Life at times is full of unseen spiritual battles. There's a second thing I want you to see today. We must fight these battles spiritually. We must fight these battles spiritually. Listen to how the text unfolds, beginning at verse 15. It says, while he was saying this to me, so now this is Daniel talking here about this angel, I bowed with my face to the ground and I was speechless. So imagine this. Daniel is in this, in the presence of this powerful being, and the only thing he can do is just like get down and his face to the ground. Wow. And then one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Don't be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. Wow. Now, the Bible teaches us that we do have an unseen spiritual enemy in our lives. He is Satan and his minions. And he wants to destroy your life and mine. It's one of the reasons why there's so much brokenness in our world. I think Jesus talked about this in John chapter 10 and verse 10. One of my favorite verses in all the New Testament really just kind of sets this in one fell swoop. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life, glory to God, and have it to the full. I love that verse. I love that verse. Satan wants to come to steal and kill and destroy, and not necessarily physically. And God wants us to live vibrant lives filled with hope and love. This is a battle that he's talking about this. And what I see in this text is that this angel is coming to Daniel here, and he is strengthening him spiritually. by what's going on. Paul said this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You ought to have this underlined in your Bible. It's one of these set of verses that talks about this war I'm talking. Paul says, though we live in the world, we don't wage as the war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we're not talking here about physical things. We're talking about spiritual strongholds in our lives. And Paul is saying we have power. We have weapons to demolish those strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so we have these weapons. What are these weapons? I want us to take a few notes here this morning and get them down. It's called the full armor of God, by the way. Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 6 earlier when he talks there about the belt of truth and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? So right in that same passage that he talks about this battle, he also as well gives us some weapons. I want to just note a couple. First of all, I want you to write prayer down. Prayer. This is what Daniel was doing when that angel came. Why was he praying and so distressed? You know, there's a lot of speculation about that. Some of the scholars actually believe that he was so upset because while a number of Jews did go back to Jerusalem when they were released, a number of them did not because they had gotten acclimated to the pagan society there and they liked it. And so Daniel was praying about this. You know, most of us here today think that prayer is a retreat. Most of us think that, well, you know, the last thing I'll do if I'm really going through something difficult is prayer. No, listen, church. Prayer is our first line of defense. We push Satan back. Listen, we push Satan away from our families, from our kids, from our church. We push him back through prayer. Prayer. Why don't we do that more? That's what the text is saying to us here, that God heard Daniel's prayer, and there was this great battle in the heavens, in the spiritual realm. And part of what got the answer is that Daniel just kept praying. Oh, church, pray, 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 pray. Pray for your church. Pray for your kids. Pray for your marriage. Glory to God for that. Prayer. The second thing here, there's also I see is truth. Truth. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the breastplate of righteousness. Why does he say that? Because one of the biggest things our enemy does is try to speak lies into us. How about it, church? Our enemy tries to get us to run in inappropriate directions, thinking that that is going to dull our pain, when in fact all it does is increase our pain. It's why we have to regularly interact with truth. We have to allow truth to wash over our soul. We have to read the Bible. We have to listen to what God has to say. Prayer, truth. And there's a third thing here, our relationship with God. That's what he's talking about when he talks about this gospel of peace. Number three, a relationship with God, this helmet of salvation. What he's saying there is that this battle that we face spiritually is too powerful for us to fight alone. Let me say that again. The spiritual battles that you and I face are too powerful for us to fight alone. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us a relationship with the living God so that we have the strength to do battle. And it is why we are in God's word. It's why we pray. It's why we come to church. It's why we gather. There's a soul strengthening that comes to our lives when we do these things. Wow. You know, one of my goals this year is to have a faith worth replicating. I want you to think about that. Been thinking about that in my own life. I've been thinking about that in reference to my kids, my grandkids, my flock, you. I don't want to preach a faith that hasn't worked for myself. How about it, church? I don't want to emulate a faith that's not worth replicating in other people. That's one of my goals this year, just to make sure that in all areas of my life, I'm battling and finding God giving me grace spiritually. There's an unseen battle that all of us face in our lives. We have to fight this spiritual battle spiritually.
And then thirdly today, we're not alone in this conflict. This is where it gets good. I love this. We are not alone in this conflict. Listen to what happens as Daniel brings this chapter to a close. And so, this is the angel speaking again to Daniel. So, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I'm going to return to fight against the prince of Persia. And by the way, now he's going to detail in the next chapter a series of wars that we know from history actually happened. But I want you to see what's going on here. Behind these physical wars are spiritual wars going on in the heavens. That's what he's talking about. This angel is saying, you know what? I'm going to be doing battle with this prince, this ungodly evil spirit that has some power over the physical realm of Persia. That's what's going on. That's what's really happening in that. That'll make your mind go crazy if you think about that long enough. I wonder how many demons we have over York County right now, or even over our country. You got to wonder when it talks about principalities and authorities, if there are demons, if there are unseen, ungodly, spiritual beings who have some power and authority over different parts of the world. That seems to be what's happening in that text there. That's really, really powerful. And so he says, I'm going to return again. I'm going to be fighting against this prince. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. So now we know, by the way, Greece didn't exist for another 200 years. And yet there were already unseen, spiritual, powerful beings who were at work making some of these things happen. Wow. But first, I'm going to tell you what's written in the book of truth. These kind of messages can kind of get us all scared and fearful and full of anxiety. But that's why, thirdly, church, we've got to understand that we're not alone in this. You ever wonder why movies like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and We Were Soldiers Once and Young and The Patriot and even Superman are so popular? You ever ask yourself that? I have a theory. It's because deep inside, we know that there's a battle between good and evil being played out in technicolor all around us. And deep inside of our hearts, we long for good to triumph and evil to be crushed. Don't we, church? We love a good movie that ends that way. And what I'm saying to you today is that these movies are only the trailer of all that God has in store for those who love him. And that's what this angel, I think, is saying to Daniel. He's saying, listen, Daniel, God's got this. We know the final score. God wins. This world is in a huge mess. It's why, church, more than we realize it, people out there are ready to hear what we have to say about Jesus. Do you know that? Listen, they're thinking to themselves, there's got to be a way, a better way than the way that I'm living. You should think about that. When you're afraid to engage your neighbor, when you're wondering if your coworkers, what they're going to think about you, if you're some kind of a Jesus freak. No, listen to me this morning. In their hearts, deep in their hearts, if they don't have Jesus, they're wondering, they're thinking to themselves, there's got to be a better way to live than the way I'm living now. It's got to be. I think God is getting this world ready for Jesus. And he's using all of that so that we would open our lives to Christ and live by His power and His grace. I ask you today, do you know Him? Those of you in the gathering, those of you in East York, those of you who are listening today online, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you opened your heart to this great big God who has come in the person of Jesus, and He died and He rose again, and He has hope, salvation, and grace for all of us? Glory to God for that. I want you to think this morning with me about the worst crisis of your life. You know, sometimes we just get news that crushes us. How about a church? I've had that this past year. I know those of you that I'm closer with, and I know that some of you have received news like that as well. Crushing news. Maybe you're in that kind of a battle right now in your life. Here's what I want you to think about. I think the message here is this. If we could only see the whole picture of what's happening, church, how about it? If you and I could only understand all that's going on behind us and around us in the spirit world, we would be stunned. I'm not saying that we should see Satan under every bush, but I can only imagine that Jesus is looking down at the crushing news that we get, and He's saying, listen, remember, if you could only understand what's going on in the heavens, if you only knew all that's happening on your behalf, if you only knew about that great cloud of witnesses up here in heaven cheering you on, so that you'll remember that you're not alone. And there's a God in heaven. Wow. That's what this angel is saying to Daniel. Daniel, we're with you. We're with you. Very quickly this morning in our takeaways. Number one, I think we've got to recognize what's at stake in our lives. Following Jesus Christ, listen to me this morning, church. Following Jesus Christ is more than just coming to church here, singing a couple songs, and then leaving here. Following Jesus Christ is understanding that the fate of our marriages, the fate of our kids, the fate of our churches, the fate of our city is on the line. There are unseen spiritual battles going on all around us, and we've got to get strength to fight those battles. Recognize what's at stake. Number two, choose whom you will serve in the midst of these battles. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Jesus, or are you going to serve someone else or something else? Wow. We make these choices all the time. And then thirdly today, we should expect difficulty, but ultimately victory. Isn't that great, church? That's what this is teaching us. Jesus Himself said it. In this world, you're going to have troubles, but fear not, for I have overcome this world. 26 times in the Bible, we have God saying those very words that He said to Daniel. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've got this. I'm with you. I'm fighting on your behalf. There's an unseen spiritual world all around us. I think if our eyes were opened, we would be stunned. We don't have to be afraid of it because of who is on our side. And all God's people said, amen.